You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to this week's episode of Tales of the Resistance, where we bring you stories of defiance and rebellion as little glimmers of hope in overwhelming times. I'm Amber Hunt, and we have a lot to cover this week, so let's dive in. This week, Canada elected an anti-Trump member of the Liberal Party as its next prime minister, an especially noteworthy feat considering that before Trump's inauguration, a conservative who had aligned himself with Trump had been favored in the polls. Mark Carney won the country's top spot after an all-night count, saying in an acceptance speech early Tuesday morning,
"As I've been warning for months, America wants our land, our resources, our water, our country. Never. But these are not idle threats. President Trump is trying to break us so that America can own us. That will never, ever happen."
His cause was likely aided by a Monday social media post from Trump calling on Canadians to vote in the opposition party leader, Pierre Poilievre. In an attempt to distance himself from Trump, Poilievre posted a response that asked Trump to stay out of Canadian elections. It seems the damage was already done. In his first 100 days in office, Trump has hit Canada with tariffs and repeatedly threatened to make it this country's 51st state. We'll talk about more about protests on the matter in a minute. Here's more from Mark Carney.
"We are over the shock of the American betrayal, but we should never forget the lessons.
But you're going to take us forward.
We have to look out for ourselves. And above all, we have to take care of each other."
Yay! Cory Booker has returned to Making Good Trouble by hosting a sit-in with House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, D. New York, at the Capitol last Sunday. The duo hosted hundreds of supporters to sit on the steps in protest of Republicans' upcoming push to pass a budget reconciliation bill. Booker said at the beginning of the sit-in,
"That bill, we believe, presents one of the greatest moral threats to our country that we've seen in terms of what it will do to providing food for the hungry, care for the elderly, services for the disabled, health care for the sick, and more."
The bill could cut $1.5 trillion in federal spending. Democrats have long warned that cuts this deep can only happen if Medicaid is gutted. Medicaid is the federal program that provides health insurance for low-income families. Former Vice President Al Gore, who surely served as president in another timeline of the multiverse, recently gave a scorching speech at an event kicking off San Francisco's Climate Week. It was a fiery talk that accused the Trump administration of, quote, trying to create their own preferred version of reality, end quote. And then he said something that has since been summed up by several media outlets as simply comparing Trump to Hitler, though what he actually said was a bit more nuanced than that. Have a listen.
"I understand very well why it is wrong to compare Adolf Hitler's Third Reich to any other movement. It was uniquely evil, full stop. I get it. But there are important lessons from the history of that emergent evil, and here is one that I regard as essential."
He explained a group of philosophers performed a sort of moral autopsy on the Third Reich, and one of them, Theodore Adorno, wrote,
"The first step in that nation's descent into hell was, and I quote, the conversion of all questions of truth into questions of power. He described how the Nazis, and I quote again, attacked the very heart of the distinction between true and false, end quote. The Trump administration is insisting on trying to create their own preferred version of reality.
So no, he's not saying Trump is Hitler. He's saying that some of the early actions Hitler took look mighty familiar, which is fair to know when the whole world vowed never to forget so that such a horror would never be repeated.
We've already seen, by the way, how populist authoritarian leaders have used migrants as scapegoats and have fanned the fires of xenophobia to fuel their own rise to power. And power seeking is what this is all about.
Not everyone was thrilled with the speech. Fox News sure wasn't, nor was Bill Maher, who, you'll remember, had dinner with Trump and recently said, "Shucks, y'all, he seems real normal to me." But plenty of others applauded Gore and called on other past presidential candidates to speak up. At three bridge crossings linking Michigan to Canada, hundreds of people gathered last Saturday to protest the Trump administration's policies regarding the Great White North. Confession, I looked up that nickname so I wouldn't have to say Canada twice in a sentence. It's a writer thing. The three bridges were in Detroit, Sault Ste. Marie, and Port Huron, where I lived for several years in the early aughts. We'd cross the Blue Water Bridge into Sarnia all the time, just hop on over for dinner. Nowadays, that trip would seem much more fraught. The protesters gathered to oppose Trump's tariffs and talk of making Canada the 51st state, which has caused strain between the U.S. and its neighbor to the north. Martha Fitzgerald, a dual citizen, told MLive.com that she attended out of a sense of frustration, angst, and shame. But she found it was therapeutic to meet like-minded protesters in Port Huron's International Flag Plaza. She said, quote, "When you sit in that circle with people who feel the same as you, you end up building a positive force that really, really helps you sleep better at night and allows you to have some joy amongst the angst," end quote. Let's stay in Michigan, where there's been a sort of protest-palooza over the past couple of weeks. Nearly 1,000 University of Michigan community members gathered at the Diag for a We Are DEI recently.
Are we no longer in the equity game? Or is it inclusion that we're afraid of? We're now at a point where we can't even say the words.
Demonstrators protested cuts to diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at the university and advocated for the reinstatement of DEI initiatives, according to a report by student journalists at the Michigan Daily. Law student Mia Cerna said, quote, "I'm Latina, and I'm also a first-generation college student, so I know that I had to go through a lot more hurdles to get here than some other people, and I feel like closing the DEI programs closes a lot of doors for people," end quote. This tidbit comes from grab bag listener Rachel Sloan Rittenhouse. Remember that Idaho town hall that feels like a lifetime ago when a woman was accosted for asking questions, then dragged from the building by a bunch of men who refused to identify themselves? I know a million things are happening every day, so it's tough to remember it all. But video went viral of her being hauled from a public meeting while screaming, "Who are you?" because none of the men were willing to show badges. Turns out the men in black were from a Northern California private security firm, and five of them now face a variety of charges. Lear Asset Management CEO Paul Truitt faces the most serious charges, including misdemeanor battery, false imprisonment, and violating security uniform and duty regulations. That's according to a story from the San Francisco Gate. Four more Lear employees were charged, as was a sixth man not affiliated with the security firm. Let's make sure we name and shame them, shall we? The employees are Alex Truett IV, Russell Dunn, Christopher Berg, and Jesse Jones, all facing battery and false imprisonment charges. The sixth guy is Michael Keller, who's charged with battery. The charges stem from the arrest of protester Teresa Borenpohl, who mildly heckled a legislative town hall organized by the Kootenai County Republican Central Committee. According to the LA Times, Lear Asset Management volunteered its services after a bomb threat was called into the town hall. Instead of, you know, just looking for bombs, the employees opted to manhandle a woman without even explaining who they were. which makes more sense when you know the company's background. Apparently, Lear employees were tapped during environmental protests a lot in the 2019-2022 years. People would sit in trees to prevent them from being removed, and Lear workers would use intimidation tactics, like harassing the protesters with floodlights and playing loud music, sounds of screaming animals, and right-wing talk radio. That would do it. And now they're charged with crimes. Lear's business license has also been revoked by the city of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where the town hall took place. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is hoping that people keep on protesting until their feet are sore and their voices hoarse. Okay, so he didn't say it that way. But the Democrat called for ongoing mass protests during a speech last weekend because he said the alternative could be to give in to despair right now.
Despair is an indulgence that we cannot afford in the times upon which history turns.
Pritzker, who seems to be gearing up for a 2028 presidential run, said Trump and his cabinet are, quote, an affront to every value this country was founded on, end quote.
Never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption. But I am now. These Republicans cannot know a moment of peace. They have to understand that we will fight their cruelty with every megaphone and microphone that we have. We must castigate them on the soapbox and then punish them at the ballot box.
If people heed his call, we'll have a lot more to cover on upcoming Tales of the Resistance episodes. This has been Tales of the Resistance, a production of Grab Bag Lab. The show's reported and edited by Amanda Rossman and me. Amanda produces. Daisy Egan sometimes chimes in. Support Grab Bag Lab at patreon.com/grabbagclab.